This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Watching the game. No, wasn't really watching the Knicks game. Wasn't really watching the Nets game. I'm in here watching the Four Nations Championship. We're going to talk about that, of course. We're going to talk about the Knicks. Of course, I'll even mention the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets hung tough tonight with the team with the best record in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the Knicks found a way to stay undefeated in overtime. Can't lose that game to a team barely in the play-in, and a team that's rebuilding, and whatever, a win is a win, especially before you face the Cleveland Cavaliers in your building tomorrow, second half of a back-to-back. I know we're coming out of the All-Star break, a little bit of a slow start for the Knicks, and they didn't have Josh Hart, they didn't have OG, you know, Mitch is on the way back. I understand. 888-808-1019, tonight we've got a lot to talk about. In a short amount of time, I've got about 3 hours and I've got like 3 minutes to do this quick open. The Four Nations Championship, the Knicks, the Nets. Aaron Boone is back. Didn't I tell you guys Aaron Boone was going to get an extension? Or didn't I tell you that the Yankees were going to extend Aaron Boone before they get another bat? Yeah, that happened. Juan Soto gets Brett Beatty a car, a nice one. A better car than Lindor got for Jeff McNeil and a lot faster. Oh, spring training. The games have begun. Let the games begin. Saw some things with the Cubs and the Dodgers and the ABS, automatic balls and strike system and the challenge system. And yeah, we will see the Mets and the Yankees very soon. And Juan Soto met with the media extensively in Mets camp, and Major League Baseball has ended their partnership with ESPN. This will be the last year of their deal. I don't know, man. There's a lot to go over. And I'll start here. You know, I was thinking about the NBA All-Star game and how much comparing the NBA All-Star weekend and break has had to the NHL. And here we are tonight watching, you know, Canada, USA, and it's been a hell of a game. It's lived up to the hype. Not too many things live up to the hype like this on a national stage, but it's real. There's nothing false or fake about this. I think so many people are watching this right now. It's going to do numbers. I think the numbers were around 4.5 million over the weekend. And it's a movie. It's theater. It's dramatic. And I'll kind of wait to really go in with my takes and thoughts on the players, on what this means, on the game until we actually see it get decided. But there's about 3.5 minutes left here in the third period. you know, if no one lights the lamp, they're going to OT, and it's going to be a dramatic finish. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to live up to the hype. It's going to end one way or the other. And, man, these Canadians have a ton of pride, as they should. America came into their building and kind of stole their Canadian bacon over the weekend. And then Americans were somewhat respectful tonight as they played O Canada. And there's a lot of Canadians in Boston in their building, not that far of a trip. So we'll get to that. But, you know, speaking of the NBA, and I look at the NBA, even when they don't try, you know, news comes from the NBA, right? Like LeBron and the shenanigans he pulled wearing street clothes, pulling up before the game and just saying, yeah, you won't see anything out of me. Didn't even wear the jersey for the picture. Just wanted to, you know, show off his fashion. Okay, LeBron, you did all of that to, like, go into that first game with the Lakers and lose to the Hornets last night, miss shots and just have a letdown. You should have played in the game. And then Victor Wembanyama did all that talking about playing hard, obviously cheated in the skills competition, got clowned for that, then played hard in the game, and now he's shut down for the season. Storylines write themselves. 888-808-1019. NHL is about to win again. And maybe by the time we come back, we'll have a winner, or maybe we'll be in OT. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I'll talk more about what we saw from the Knicks tonight, what we saw from the Nets tonight. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB. We've made it to the 11 p.m. hour tonight, the last hour. This Thursday night on the Fan, we've made it to overtime again. The Knicks go to OT and win it. We need the United States of America hockey team to win it in OT. And of course, ESPN flashes the information for you that, you know, the last time Canada and the U.S. faced off in a championship, right, 2010 Olympics, Canada defeated the United States 3-2 in overtime. Sidney Crosby's famous golden goal. Will history repeat itself? I certainly hope not. And I know he's got to be feeling some kind of way. I know Canada's got to be feeling some type of way as well. And I remember I had a caller say, when you say they're feeling some type of way, what do you mean? Just say which way they're feeling. I mean that the Canadians are feeling like, hey, this is a huge opportunity right here for pride, for respect, to back these guys off, to shut these guys up, to calm these guys down, to literally take their fans' hearts and change the narrative on American soil, and then take this into the rest of the NHL season. Those Canadian players are good. They're very skilled. And what I've learned through this last week or so about Canada versus USA hockey is there's 100 years of beef, and it starts young. You know, and I didn't grow up watching hockey. I remember being a kid and watching Mighty Ducks. I remember being a kid watching D2 Mighty Ducks and those movies and playing like roller hockey and having trading cards and playing, you know, Super Nintendo, NHL 96, 97. Playing with the Penguins, Mario Lemieux. And I wonder, you know, back then in the 90s, right? Like how many of these guys, like that were young kids, and how many young kids now are watching, and the effect that this is going to have in the future. Because as they did all this talking, I started to think about USA soccer and how we're coming up on another World Cup. And how every year when the World Cup happens, or every 4 years when the World Cup happens, you know, the conversation about America never catching up to the other countries, not being a soccer nation, a football country, you know. But here, hockey is Canada's game, and the United States has caught up to them. And we have an overtime period right here coming up where the United States actually gets to stand on business, make a definitive statement that, hey, we got you. We are the country where hockey is played. We are the country where hockey is played and developed from young, from the 90s, the 2000s, to now the, you know, the 2020s. 888-808-1019. Like, for anyone trying to knock the enthusiasm around this, I just think that's, this is so weak. It's so out of place. This went from being something that nobody really knew about outside of the hockey world. You kind of heard about it. Even myself, I was reading about it. Oh, yeah, you know, Four Nations is coming up. I'm a Devils fan. Yeah, Jesper Bratt is playing. Jack Hughes is playing. Like, you hear a little bit about it, and then now that it is played out this way, and you're seeing these guys, they're not millionaires like the NBA players. They're not millionaires like NFL players that go to the Pro Bowl and play flag football or go to NBA All-Star Weekend and jump around and do tricks and don't really play hard. Like, this is a cultural thing. This is a dead-ass thing. This is dead serious, right? This is a uprising. These are guys that played Team USA Hockey, USA Hockey Young, the World Juniors, right? These guys have been playing for years together. Like, they just chanted Johnny Hockey in that building. It's dead serious for these guys. They're doing this for Johnny Gaudreau and his family. They're doing this for each other. They're doing this for the young generations of kids coming up and the United States fans that are watching. The diehard hockey fan, which I understand diehard hockey fans, you have an allegiance to the Rangers. You have an allegiance to the Islanders, the Devils, or whoever you root for. And that is you, personally. That is your interest. Lord Stanley's Cup, that's what you want. You want to see that. These guys have all put it on the back burner. All of them are in lockstep on it. Adam Fox took so much heat. All he said was he's jacked up for this. He's more jacked up for this than any other game. He's living in the moment, in the present. Maybe all the flack that he took, he carried into this game with him. Because if you look online, you type in Adam Fox's name in X and Twitter, he's been hearing it from the fans. 888-808-1019. I hope that they win it. I hope that the United States pulls it out. I mean, Brady Tkachuk, I'm a fan. And I got to watch what I tweet about Brady Tkachuk. I don't care about his politics. I don't care if he's MAGA. I don't care if he voted for Trump. That's another thing with this, right? The divided states of America. For tonight, we're united. It's us against Canada. For tonight, we're rooting for these guys. I don't care what Trump tweeted. I don't care about the, you know, I heard Trump was supposed to be in the locker room. So what? I'm a full-blooded American. I grew up here, like a lot of you listening. 888-808-1019. When the United States win, we all win. It's special. That national anthem, that had me jacked up, had my blood flowing. I'm like, let's go. It had me thinking, man, I never even kind of like potentially put on skates and played hockey. Wasn't brought to me, wasn't available to me. And I think about how many young kids that play hockey now are going to be more motivated and fired up to follow up, where this could set up dominance for the United States for years to come. The Olympics are back in 2026. And this next overtime right here, like, this is huge. The United States wins. It sends a message to the entire hockey world. I've enjoyed this Four Nations face-off so much. I've learned so much in this short amount of time. I'm happy that I, like, picked up hockey coming into WFAN in 2021, 2022 season. And now I know these players. Now I, like, you know, I'm more familiar with the game and the rules and what's about to happen. And, you know, I remember watching a couple years ago, why are people yelling? Why are people cheering? Not really knowing. Like, now I know how to follow the game. And this has been great. It's been a pleasant surprise. There's nothing fake or false about it. The enthusiasm is real, and these players play for their country. They play for each other, and it's way more important than a city that could trade them away. Like, you think about Adam Fox and how much the locker room has changed. His teammates have changed just this year. They're not worried about that right now. I think it's great. When the game started, Matthew Tkachuk said something like he had just played in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup. But this is the biggest game of his life. This is more important than that. So here we go. I wanted to get that in before that got started, overtime got started. I'll switch gears here to the basketball. But, you know, I'll just say this as a sports fan, someone that did not grow up watching hockey, man, the NHL has hit from the Stadium Series, the Winter Classic, the different things they're doing with TV, getting people to watch, and this Four Nations face-off, they knocked it out of the park. They knocked it out of the park. And I'm hoping that the United States comes through right here. I'm hoping that these guys figure out a way to win right here so that we can celebrate. And then the hockey fans can call the fan. The hockey fans that feel marginalized. The hockey fans that feel like we don't talk hockey enough. The hockey fans that listen to the fan today. And not for nothing, there was a lot of talk knocking it down, knocking this event down. To me, that didn't make any sense. This is special. This is rare. This is out of nowhere. And if you don't have pride in your country, if you can't have pride, like what are we talking about? The cities come second. The country comes first. 888-808-1019. This game has been great. I mean, right away, Brady Tkachuk, he's just a bully. Like, he's just a hockey guy. That's another thing, too. I grew up playing football, and I've said this a bunch of times, thinking that football was a tough guy sport and not really paying attention to hockey. Nah, those guys are tough as hell. Those guys are playing hurt, and they're about to go back to their teams and play. They don't care. They don't care. There's just a culture in this. Listen to PK Subban, a Canadian, talking about the culture of hockey. You can't step out there and half-ass it. You can't step out there and be soft. And man, in this country, the amount of soft men that we have, the amount of young men that are encouraged to be weak and be, there's words that I can't even say, like, this is a throwback. I can appreciate this. I like watching this gladiator sport. I like watching these guys go at it and leave it all out on the ice. And, you know, when I said the Canadian players are skilled, I mean, McKinnon, all he does is put the goal, put the puck in the goal. That goal in the beginning of the game was sick. Like, he's going to his right. He fires it back through like four different defenders and kind of caught Tkachuk sleeping. And that kind of took the building out of it. But then Tkachuk is there for the answer, and he's having a hell of a tournament. And then, you know, here we are. It's 2-2. The United States takes the lead. You know, the kid Jake Sanderson, like, first Montana-born player to ever play in the NHL. Like, how crazy is that? He's from Whitefish, Montana. I've never been to Montana. But when you talk about a national game, something that's pulling it, there are people in Montana. Which, when you go to Montana, like, I've never been. The most I know about there is Montana Grizz football. Like, there are people in Montana right now rooting for this kid. They're more locked in on that than anything else. And then, of course, right, they tie it up because it's cinema, it's theatrics, it's 2-2, tie game again. And now here we are, right? Here we are in this overtime. I just think it's going to be electric. I can't really focus on anything else, but now that they're getting started, maybe you're watching that, and maybe you'll call in when this gets decided. For now, I will shift gears and talk about the NBA, but I just wanted to get that little rant off about how important this is to these guys, and it shouldn't matter. Your fandom doesn't mean a damn thing to these guys. The city that you root for, the team that you root for, the Stanley Cup, all that is on hold. You're an American. You're rooting for the United States. And these guys are going out there and they're representing us very well. And they've got this overtime period to put an exclamation point on it. And it'll be a celebration. I heard people saying, what do they win? What do they win? It's pride. What do they win? Bragging rights. What do they win? All of this back and forth this week, these last couple months about big brother, little brother in New York. There's a big brother, little brother dynamic here with the Canadians versus the Americans. And obviously, the political stuff with, oh, the 51st state, obviously, you know, the booing of the anthem. And I think, you know, they tried to keep it somewhat respectful tonight and they did a good enough job. But yeah, this has been cinematic. This has been electric. This has been entertaining. And I had no idea it was going to be like this. These guys made it this way. These guys that are not MLB players with $51 million a year contracts, not NBA players that can just go out there and half-ass it and it doesn't mean anything. These are not NFL players that, you know what I'm saying? These guys got to go out there and prove it every day. They're not doing it for the money. They're doing it for the pride and culture that they were developed in. 888-808-1019. And overtime is underway. So the Knicks go to overtime. I said that they are undefeated in overtime, 4-0 in overtime. Shouldn't have went to overtime tonight, but whatever. The end result is that you win. Shouldn't have went to overtime tonight because that's extra minutes that you got to play. And you know what the narrative is going to be the rest of the way here. The minutes police are going to be out. and you know the head coach is going to get blamed, and you know people are going to be calling for rest, and you do have help on the way. They were able to beat the 10-seed Bulls, who traded away their best player, who are out there with Red Velvet, who are out there with Josh Giddey, who are out there with Lonzo Ball, Nikola Vucevic. You know, they're able to hold them off. And sometimes it gets a little weird coming out of the All-Star break. Obviously, you have a little bit of a layoff. You might get somebody's best shot. But ultimately, the Knicks get the win, 113-111. They started off slow in that first quarter. They picked it up again in the second half. Obviously, in games like this, you can lean on a Karl Anthony Towns. They had no answer for Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns goes out there, gives you 32 points, 18 rebounds, just beast dominating, and he's going to have to dominate. That's why you traded for the guy, right? I-Hart goes to OKC. Who's going to be the center? Who's going to be the center? Mitchell Robinson's hurt. You trade for a big like Karl Anthony Towns, one of the best in the game. He's going to have a dominant run. He's got to be healthy. And then, you know, as a sidekick, obviously Jalen Brunson, he's going to have his nights where he's going to go for 40, where he's going to, you know, shoulder the heavy lifting. But I'm circling a guy right now, Mikal Bridges. You know, Mikal Bridges, hell of a defensive play, that block, to make sure that it did go to OT. But for what the Knicks gave up for Bridges, for what I saw him be at times in Brooklyn, they need more out of him offensively. And I know he plays a lot of minutes. I know he plays defense. He can't go 1-for-5 behind the arc. He can't go 6-for-16. Wake up, bro. That's where you want it to be, right? You wanted to be in the Garden. You were saying that, you know, ever since you were at Villanova playing in a Big East tournament, you wanted to be in the Garden. You're with the Knicks now. And if you don't pick it up through this stretch, they're not going to get on the captain. They're not going to get on Karl Anthony Towns. They're going to be looking at you, bro. They're going to be looking at Mikal Bridges saying, why isn't Mikal Bridges carrying his weight? Shout out to Deuce McBride. I got a break. We'll get into more conversation around the Knicks as well as the Nets, and I'll hit you with some baseball stuff as we wait to see what happens here in this overtime period, Canada versus the United States. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this. Yo. All right, let's get back into it. Just under 12 minutes left in the overtime period. Four Nations Championship tied 2-2, Canada versus USA. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Talking sports, what else? It is extremely hard to focus and watch this hockey game, like focus on the puck and the shots, and like you can tell it's getting tense, and you talk about like a game of inches, it's going to be that narrow of a victory for whoever gets it done here. But back to the overtime victory of the Knicks and going into the Nets, right? A win is a win is a win. You won't worry about that win some days from now. But you do have to worry about, oh my goodness. Bro. Game. That sucks. I could feel it in my bones. And they put the camera on Adam Fox. Please show me the replay. Is that on him? Binnington played his ass off in overtime. I told you these Canadians, they held the pen. And with pride in overtime, history does kind of repeat itself there. Let me pull up this box score as well. That was crazy. I could feel it was about to happen too as we just came back. I'm like, please show this goal. Wow. I'm shocked. I'm stunned. I'm disappointed. You know, I heard the guys talk today about like, how would you feel after the game? As if you're not going to feel disappointment. Oof. Fox kind of loses his man behind the net. Can't say it's on him, but let me see the replay again. It's Connor McDavid. Who else? Yeah, wow. Bangarang. What are you going to do? Like I said, these guys are skilled. Like, bro, that puck goes behind the net. He's sitting there waiting for it. Call game. The best player in the game, call game. For his country. Bro, they were on one tonight with a lot of pride, redemption. Four Nations Classic goes to the Canadians. And that's an all-timer. It sucks to see it go down like that in Boston on American soil, especially after how turned up we were, how excited we were. This is deflating. This is disappointing. And you can see it on their faces, the Americans, how close they were. And for it to end like that, that's tough. But that storybook, you know? It was 87 Sidney Crosby 10 years ago, 97 Connor McDavid. Well, not 15 years ago tonight. Yeah, this is great. I don't know if you guys aren't watching this. I don't know how you're not watching this. It's, you know, congratulations to them, especially with all the talk about the booing and Donald Trump and, you know, Americans and, you know, the whole conversation I was just having about an uprising, rising up, and the United States, Team USA Hockey, feeling like, okay, no, we are the ones now. Not so fast. Not yet. The Canadians get it done, and the United States is on their way, but the bragging rights go to the team from up north, north of the border. Like Sidney Crosby, when you look at Sidney, like the gray hairs on Sidney Crosby, good for him, man. Because that, what, 26-game streak got ended over the weekend of, you know, the Canadians, you know, winning. And they redeemed themselves tonight. That was a hell of a sequence right there. Can't be mad at Hollebuck. That's tough. Somebody's going to blame Adam Fox, though. Some Rangers fans are going to blame Adam Fox. I say he was having a rough go at it. From his comments the night before, I was hearing C-Mac had something to say about it, and Morass had something to say about it. Obviously, diehard Rangers fans that feel some type of way about Adam Fox. I think Morass even said something about, you know, the Devils series 2 years ago. And, you know, for that to end like that, that's tough. That's heartbreaking. But push all that to the side, right? This was exhibition. They're going to give out medals and all of that, and there's a trophy, whatever. But, like, this isn't the Olympics. Push all that to the side. The NHL won. The National Hockey League won. Putting this thing together, they won with the ratings. They won for that game to go OT like that. That arena is sold out. You know, here I am, someone that did not grow up watching hockey. Nobody put me on. I put myself on in the last 3-4 years. And I watched as much of these games as I could. And it just stopped me in the middle of my thought, you know, to watch this game and to talk about it. I was distracted by it, but it's over now. 888-808-1019. I'll take a call on it. And then, you know, I'll get into some other things. But now that it's over, you tip your cap to the Canadians, Team Canada, and now that it's over as well, you look at the NHL and the progress that they have made, the decision that they made to put this together, an absolute win for hockey and hockey fans. 888-808-1019. Justin is in Floral Park. Justin, you got it.
Keith, what's going on, brother?
Watching this game live in real time, amazing. Like everyone else. Heartbreaker.
Yep, the torch has been passed from Crosby to McDavid. This guy's going to be the face of the league. I hope they can actually, like, build on this guy because, you know, their marketing is so horrible in the NHL. That's the problem. You don't know who these guys are.
Everybody should know who this guy is. Yeah. The way
he played last year.
He was in the Stanley Cup last year.
Stanley Cup coming back down 3-0 to force a Game 7, which they almost won. Against Florida, they was 1-1, and they lost like 2-1. That guy's amazing. I'm hoping, that this guy becomes a New York Ranger because his contract is up in 2 years. And I'm hoping the Oilers don't sign this guy. I really hope so. But
why would they not?
Well, listen.
Now, you know.
Listen, they let Gretzky go. They let Messier go. I mean, the Oilers, no offense, are not a big market. So they let a lot of their stars go. So I would not be surprised if it happens. And I'm hearing McDavid wants to come to New York. So we'll see what happens. But this was just an amazing game. Binnington stood on his head. This guy's a Stanley Cup winner. He played like this with the Blues about 3 years ago. So, I mean, the USA had the edge in goaltending, but not tonight. Binnington was out of his mind. He gave up a bad goal, but after that, he stood on his head. I mean, Austin Matthews, another guy, should really step up in the big games. He's another guy that does not come up big when, the money's on the line. He's been terrible with Toronto in the playoffs. And not for nothing, your boy, Jack Hughes, very invisible.
Very quiet the whole time. Look like a boy amongst men.
Yeah. Men against boys, okay? I guess he always turns it up when he plays the Rangers because he was
he's got a thing for that rivalry.
Yep, exactly, and I can't wait for that. And listen, it's going to be exciting. I think the Rangers are going to get in, and it's going to get all interesting this weekend, Keith, and it's always great to talk to you. Anytime you need hockey, I'm your man.
Thanks for the call, Justin. 888-808-1019. I wish I could turn the volume on in here. they just interviewed Connor McDavid. I mean, this guy, like Justin was saying, he's got to be pushed. He's got to be marketed. He goes from the Stanley Cup and almost made history coming back and winning that with the Oilers to now hitting that shot. And, I mean, I think I've seen him in like a body armor commercial, maybe one or two other commercials. He is the face of the league. He is the best player in the league. And that moment right there, I mean, this is on ESPN. So, SportsCenter is going to run it. SportsCenter is going to play it. In this period of time right now where there's no NFL and the NBA is just getting back going and baseball hasn't really started yet, hockey has won. Hockey has won. So hats off to the NHL, Connor McDavid, and Team Canada. John is in Massbeth. John, you're on the Fan.
Yo, Keith, what's up, man? I was watching this Four Nations hockey stuff, man, and let me tell you, man, I really don't watch hockey at all. Like, the only hockey I really watched over the course of my life was probably a couple playoff games, like particularly some Game 7s, and I'm not sure how old you are, but if you remember back in the day when the Colorado Avalanche and the Detroit Red Wings pretty much fought like all game, every game that they played for a while back in the day. I'm not sure if you were a hockey fan then or not, but you said you just started watching 3 years ago. Nah, back in like, I'm not sure what years it was, but it was back when like Patrick Roy was the goalie and Sergei Fedorov was on Detroit. You know, every time the Red Wings and Avalanche played, there was always fights going on. And, and I was a little kid, but that was like the only time I watched hockey. Up until, a past few years, some playoff games, But, man, let me tell you, hockey won me over with this, I enjoyed watching this a lot more than almost every NBA game that I've watched this season.
Thanks for the call, John. That is exactly it. It's a marketing tool. Like, that is actually, like, what this is for. They went up against the NBA All-Star break, and it wasn't even close. And now you're watching these players, and you're learning about these players from these different nations. And now when you do watch hockey, whether you watch the Rangers or the Islanders or the New Jersey Devils, these guys pop back up, and it's like, oh, I remember seeing him. I remember seeing him. I remember seeing him. And you know the announcers are going to talk about it. Like, this is just the beginning of something. I think this is an inflection point in where the NHL is in 2025. Ross is in Bergen County on the Fan. You got it, Ross.
Hey, Keith, how you doing, man? Fox is just a punk-ass bee, man. This is how he plays when he's getting, this is his, as much passion as he's had in his life. That must describe what he's been like the last two playoff runs. I know he had the injury, 2 years ago. He looks like a freaking shell of himself.
Man. Yeah, he had a rough go at it tonight, and I think just in general.
I'll pinpoint this on him. Hellebuck's just not a big game player. Probably the best goalie in the league. Everyone says Shesterkin. That's run his course. He's been just a conehead for the last year and a half. Hellebuck is the gold standard 101 in this league, but he is not a big-time player, big game player. By the way, put Jordan Binnington, other end of the ice. You want to talk about Eli Manning, massive Bumgarners of the world.
Bro.
He is Eli Manning on
skates. He just locked in that overtime period.
He's not really substituted to the regular season. Yeah, St. Louis is forgettable of a team, as you'll see. But that 2019 run, man, him and Craig Berube came in halfway. January 2nd, they were 32nd in the league, 31st in the league at the time. They go on to win the cup. He gets called up from the AHL. They hire Berube as an interim. He's got ice in his veins under the bright lights. Hellebuck, not so much. But it's Fox, obviously, on the goal. I mean, how do you leave McDavid wide open in the slot? Look, I'm not, I know you talk about the triple R, the Ranger rants or whatever. Robbie and Lennox will break down the X's and O's. I'm not as great with those, but I don't have to be, freaking Scotty Bowman to know that you don't leave Connor McDavid wide open in the slot, top shelf. Also, Austin Matthews, who was it 1, 2, 3 times? It was his debut. Hit him with the 4. Like, Austin Matthews had 4 goals in his debut. Well, most recent guy before our own Derek Stepan did it. And, he'll put up the 70 goals like he did last year, but like a couple callers ago said, he doesn't show up in the playoffs. So they said on the broadcast, I think he's like 0-7 now in do-or-die games. I mean, winners win, losers lose. And I know Connor McDavid, he kind of, this past June, kind of goes against that argument. I don't know if you saw the clip from the documentary. He was like the 4th guy ever to win the Conn Smythe, finals, playoff MVP, rather, because hockey, they don't do finals MVP. They do the whole playoffs MVP. 4th guy ever to win the whole playoff MVP on the losing team. And if you saw that clip from that documentary, he didn't come out to accept it. Throwing his helmet all out.
Yeah.
Obviously, the guy.
Yeah, I remember that.
He kind of made up for it here at this. Obviously, he brought up McKinnon. It's kind of, you see with him a lot of times, I think it was the original U.S. game, which, by the way, all that crap, I'm not one to talk a lot of smack, and in the regular season, because I know it always comes back to bite me in the ass, but this first Canada-U.S. game, I thought I'd have a little fun, and how about that? But I think what the thing with McKinnon was, he kind of always plays hero ball for whatever reason. You even see on that first goal, happened to pot it, but he's throwing shots off from the point as a first-line center. But, obviously the results with him, and you brought up Crosby, the fact that he's still doing this at this age, and you got that three-headed monster, the first goal of the whole tournament was McKinnon, Crosby, McDavid, I think Josh Morrissey, and Sam Reinhart. But obviously those first three names, McKinnon, McDavid, and Crosby, just define generations. And to see them on the same power play, and at the end of the day, it goes without saying that this tournament was a moneymaker. And so far tonight, how many people have called in and, start off with their call with, I don't really watch hockey, but
that's
all you need to know.
That's what proves, thanks for the call, Ross, that's what proves that this worked, that this was a plan that's come together. The first ever Four Nations champions are the Canadians, and the more things change, the more things stay the same. 888-808-1019. I'm just watching these guys get their medals. I'm watching the Canadian fans celebrate. Obviously, there is a level of real life to this with our president and things that are going on. But I don't get into that. I'm more into hockey than I am into that, and I'm not that deep into hockey. I got people tweeting me about Donald Trump, and I'm like, listen. Donald Trump doesn't play. He doesn't step on the ice. I know, there are people that even feel like Trump put the kibosh on the Chiefs. Like there's a Donald Trump curse because he came out and endorsed Patrick Mahomes, Brittany Mahomes, and the Chiefs. And then today he comes out and, puts his stamp on Team USA Hockey. Listen, they battled. It was a hell of a game. But ultimately, the Canadians reign supreme in their sport. That was the whole narrative. That's what I was just ranting about when we came back from my first little open, was that, there's a lot of pride in this. This means something to these guys because it's a big brother, little brother dynamic, and USA Hockey feeling like, okay, no, we can look you in the eye and beat you. Well, nope, the first ever Four Nations champions are Canada. 888-808-1019. We're going to take your calls on the Four Nations Classic, on hockey, on your favorite players, on the players that were represented from the Devils, from the Rangers, all that good stuff. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Right back at it on the Fan in New York. New York, New York, United States of America. Keith McPherson on the Fan. American. Slightly disappointed, but also highly entertained right now as more and more things are coming out because the game has been decided. You're starting to really see the backdrop of what this is and was. And, I mean, somebody at the NHL is getting a raise. And sometimes you do things and you don't even know how they're going to play out, but the universe never unconnects. And with Donald Trump and the 51st state talk, and, you know, I was reading an article before about how the singer that came out to sing O Canada tonight, and if you were watching, they asked everybody to be respectful, and for the most part, they were. You heard some boos, but, like, that's what you're going to get, some drunk young fans or whatever. But you could tell there was other people there that quieted them down, and there was a good amount of Canadians in there. But the singer of the Canadian anthem, she changed the lyrics mid-song to, in a way, protest Trump's 51st state remarks. While she was singing, and I don't really know the words like that, but while she was singing, she changed the lyrics from "In all of us command" to "That only us command." And then the prime minister, after the game, goes on Twitter, Justin Trudeau, and he tweets out, "You can't take our country and you can't take our game." 888-808-1019. Like, it is a movie. This is very movie-like in real time. They could make a little documentary about this. Maybe they will. Maybe the NHL already is like, hey, script writers, get on this. The script is already written. Let's produce something. In my mind, as an American sitting here wearing an American flag bandana on my head, rooting for Team USA, I thought that the script was going to be that the United States wins on American soil, and then, you know, we kind of spike the ball on them and spike the puck on them and say, hey, you know, we're the captains now. It's our sport. But no, they held us off. And I can't get over Connor McDavid just standing there in the middle waiting on the puck to fire it to win in overtime like that. Wow. Also, MacKinnon, too. What a dirty dog. Nathan MacKinnon is now a 7-time NHL All-Star, Hart Trophy recipient. I can't even speak. Stanley Cup champion. And now the NHL's leading scorer in the Four Nations Faceoff, as well as the MVP. So he's won the Hart Trophy, also the Calder Trophy, Stanley Cup, and, I mean, this guy, that first goal that he had, it gave me a bad feeling, and it kind of took the air out of the room, kind of silenced the crowd. Obviously, the crowd got back into it, but no, it was their night. Sidney Crosby, I mean, like, for anybody that was saying, like, this doesn't matter, this is fake, this is manufactured, the Canadians feel like it is their sport. Sidney Crosby has won how many Stanley Cups? He is emphatically raising this Four Nations Championship trophy, singing and enjoying himself with his teammates, and he just spoke about being able to do this with his fellow countrymen and wearing that Canadian jersey and how much it meant to them. So we can't minimize it. We got to hold this L. And, Donald Trump has to hold this L, too. They took this personal. They took this serious. And all the drama that came with it from this weekend to now, the Canadians reign supreme. 888-808-1019. Henry is in Monroe, Connecticut on the Fan. You got it, Henry.
Keith, thank you for taking my call. I don't think this is political, per se. I don't think this has to do with anything Trump said or Trudeau said, although I was amused by what both said on Twitter. I think this is about Jack Hughes' failure to stay up on the ice. I was disgusted by his performance tonight as a Devils fan, lifelong Devils fan, not a huge fan of hockey, but I keep tabs on the sport. And this was a monumental night for hockey, and our representative out there on the ice, Jack Hughes, slipping all over the place. That's all I've got to say.
He shrunk. I'm disappointed. He shrunk the whole series, the whole competition. What did he do in this whole Four Nations face-off?
Keith, I'm disgusted for the Tri-State area. I'm disgusted for New Jersey. I'm disgusted for New York. And most importantly, I'm disgusted for me and my buddies in Connecticut. Honestly, they needed his brother instead of him, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, his brother was hurt.
His brother can skate around on the ice. I watched the game in a crowd full of my fellow brethren and women from the United States. We all chanted USA the whole game. It was fantastic. What an environment to watch a hockey game. Great for the sport as a whole. But God damn it, what an...
Jack Hughes, Adam Fox, it's not great right now. I said we'll talk about our representatives from the tri-state area and their involvement or lack thereof in this. They did not really do much to make an impact. And you're going to hear it. They're going to wear it. As much as they both spoke out, right, Adam Fox saying how jacked up he was for this more so than Stanley Cup playoffs, more so than, you know, any Rangers game. Excuse me. Jack Hughes also, you know, had some quotes too, basically saying that, you know, the NHL is on the back burner for right now. He said, you ask anyone in this room, the NHL season is on the back burner. We got Canada and the USA Thursday. That's all that matters right now. And bro is a ghost, and I've seen him be dominant. I've seen him skate around and look like the best guy out there, and that's what I said before about it. Men amongst boys, he looked like a boy. Danny is in Wayne, New Jersey on the Fan next. What's up, Danny?
Yo, what's up, Keith? First time, long time.
Thanks. What you got?
Yeah, dude, I just want to talk about Jack Hughes. Listen, I played hockey my whole life. Watch hockey my whole life. Jack Hughes is a good player, but he's not a great player. You could see it when he's playing against great players. He just wasn't it. He wasn't there. He was a ghost, like you said, man. He's falling. He can't get the pucks first. When he does, he can't get the line to get the puck in deep. You know, just things that are simple hockey plays that he doesn't do. One, because he's scared. Two, because he just can't do it. He's afraid of getting hit. And it was kind of embarrassing to watch. And listen, I'm a Rangers fan. It's going to sound biased, but Fox didn't play well either. But Jack Hughes really stood out because he's supposed to be the guy.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Danny. I'm disappointed. I'm hurt because in my 3-4 years of being a Devils fan, obviously this is Jack Hughes' era of the Devils, and he's given me some great moments and times, and I'm rooting for the guy here. But yeah, he didn't do anything, and he didn't look great. And he came up small, and he's going to shoulder some blame for this. And it's not good. It's not good. I was going to come in here and make excuses for him and say he's young and cite that he's 23. But you're a man. You're a grown man. You're in the NHL. You've been in the NHL for years now. You're able to do it then. And, you know, you guys all heard Jack last year say people pay to come see me. A lot of people paid to go see these games. And if you think you're the guy, Jack, you got to do it with the best of the best in the world. Yeah, he didn't show up on the biggest stage. And you mentioned Quinn Hughes. Quinn Hughes, I believe, was hurt and wasn't able to play. But, yeah, we're up against another break. We're going to continue to talk about this because that's what all the calls are about, which what a rare night, right? What a rare time. You know, even when the Rangers are going on a run, we'll have Knicks calls, we'll have Yankees calls, we'll have Mets calls. You know, we're not talking about Brett Beatty's car yet. We're not talking about Aaron Boone's extension yet. I want to hear from you guys, right? You know, last caller said, I played hockey my whole life. I'm a hockey fan. I'm transparent with you guys. I'm new. I'm 4 years in as far as following the Devils and learning more. So tonight is a night for you to call up, and you know I give you your time. Express yourself, your thoughts, what you saw, what you feel. I've got 2 hours to go. Let's break it down right now. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.